The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pub Fiction in Midtown. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number three. Usually this is where we do Blitz Rewind, but somebody's too busy trying to get Soccer Matters ready to go, so we don't have our Blitz Rewind. So I'll tell you what we talked about. We talked about the Texans. We talked about the Lombardi Award. We talked about how I'm going to die.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's been pretty much the whole show. Anyway, if you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real. And you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed anything, actually there was a lot more than
what we discussed.
Yeah. But if you missed any of it, all available at podcastarena.com, which is a part of the Gal Media empire. And if you go to podcastmedia.com, you can also pick up a copy of An Introduction to Sports Betting Blitz Style by AJ Hoffman with Fred Fowler. It's kind of like with Dell. And I've gotten a lot of great feedback on that. I appreciate the people who purchased it. And $12.99, man. You're going to get a lifetime's worth of info that will help you win a bunch of money. Okay.
Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, Michigan State, some of the basketball games tonight for those interested. I know we haven't we still don't talk a lot of college hoops on this station or on this show, but a couple really good games tonight. Heartthrob says A.J. Hint should have gotten Manager of the Year, not Bannister. Remember, the Rangers were the worst team in the division last year.
Yeah.
And this isn't a regular season, or this is just a regular season award. They don't take into account the postseason. I think the right guy won it.
They won the division.
Went from worst to first.
And there was a reason why that team was going to be better. They had so many injuries. But you know what? Their best pitcher never got a chance to play this year, and they still won the division. Overcame a slow start to do it. I think the right guy won. I can't argue with it. I want to see the Lamarck guy do well. And it's kind of cool to say you went to high school with an AL Manager of the Year. But in reality,
I don't have a dog in the fight either way.
I don't
know either one of those guys.
But I've also been on record as saying that that Dallas Keuchel should win the Cy Young and probably will. And I thought Carlos Correa should have won Rookie of the Year.
But if you go from last place to first place, typically that's you're going to win Manager of the Year.
And yes, A.J. Hinch did a great job with this team. They were better than we thought they were going to be. They've been horrible for a long time. But the reality is, I mean, there's a reason he finished second, and it wasn't that close.
Yeah.
So, anyway, 713-780-ESPN. It's the hardest thing when you're a fan of a team is to look at the other guy and why he deserves it more than your guy.
And it's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not. And, I mean, I'm not trying to say that to be judgmental in any way. I mean, it's just a hard thing to do. When you're looking at your team and your guy and you fall in love with them, it's like the guy who would say, oh, Myles Garrett should win. Well, wait a minute. Let's look at some of the numbers for these other guys.
Someone messaged me last week when we were talking about who would win these awards, and I said that I thought Carlos Correa and Francisco Lindor was essentially a coin flip. And, obviously an Astros fan, there's a lot of them in this town, tweeted me talking about how it wasn't even close and Lindor's not even in the same class. And, I thought Correa would win it. I thought it would be close, and it was really close. I mean,
it was close.
When you're in
– And deservedly close. It was a very – that was not an easy one. I mean,
no.
I thought Correa deserved it.
But I'm sure there are guys in Cleveland who thought that Lindor deserved it, and rightfully so. I mean, it wasn't like a runaway, laughed out of the place vote. That was a close vote, and for good reason, man. And I know it's difficult when you live in a town and you've got a favorite team and a favorite player. It's difficult to put that aside and look at another guy without those Astros glasses on or whatever team you're cheering for. It's like last year when there were people you couldn't convince that Steph Curry was deserving of the MVP award.
Yeah.
And there were people that you couldn't convince that Aaron Rodgers was the MVP of the league because J.J. Watt had to be the MVP of the league. But when you're watching all the games and you're not just watching your team play and you actually take it to account and kind of put your bias to the side, it's a little more difficult to pick.
What I would ask people to do is the same thing they taught us to do in debate. Make a case for someone, make a case for the other guy.
Yeah.
And go and look at every single aspect of it. And that's something I think we try to do here on the show.
Absolutely. And that's key when you're doing a debate is try to put yourself on the other side of that and see what the best argument you can come up with is.
Yeah. And you know what? In the end, you can say, hey, you know what? I was right in the first place. My guy should win.
And that happens sometimes.
Or maybe it's like, you know what? I don't feel so sure about it. And as much as I really believe that Dallas Keuchel will win, I don't think it's a lot because you look at what David Price did over the second half of the season with Toronto, and it was a pretty amazing stretch. And it's easy to look at the postseason and say, well, but remember, those votes were in long before the postseason. But I do think Keuchel will win. And how amazing is it that you're going to have Rookie of the Year and Cy Young Award winner after all those years of just absolute crap?
Of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great thing. And so now I can't get too worked up that A.J. Hinch didn't win. I think you could have made a case for Paul Molitor, too, and he wound up third.
Yep.
So, but that one wasn't that close, and it kind of makes sense. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. We're out here at third floor for the Rotary Lombardi Award finalists being announced. And in case you missed it, we will tell you once again, Joey Bosa from Ohio State is one. Miles Garrett from A&M, so I know Aggie fan will be excited about that. Shaq Lawson from Clemson and Carl Nassib from Penn State. And I think if you had a vote today, you'd probably take Nassib.
Nassib would be my guy. He's had the best season so far.
I'm kind of with you.
But he probably plays on, you could argue, plays on the worst team of that bunch.
Well, and that depends on, you know, how you're going to weight your vote.
I mean,
is it impact on, because.
But he's had a fantastic season.
I think so is Miles Garrett. Same thing. Team not doing all that well. I mean, okay, but not great. And Shaq Lawson's having a great year on
the best team in the country
now. People say DJ Swearinger was excellent at getting his truck upgraded and not paying for it.
That's true.
Yeah.
He was very talented at that.
He was
drawing personal fouls. He could do that with the best.
Patrick says he's working 3 miles from the Golden Nugget. He can't help himself. He can't be this place and not go. It can't be this close and not go.
It's a good spot, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's you can do a lot worse. And I like the poker there. The cash games are pretty sweet. There's a lot of people that just really want to give you their money. I always like that. But, I found a tournament for us tomorrow night. So I don't know how far this place is. I know I've seen it, though. But they have a midnight tournament.
Okay.
So we're in. This is going to be – you know what this is. Whenever we do this –
You think we're not going to make that one at Monte Carlo?
No, I don't think we'll make the 11 o'clock, but okay. I think we'll make the midnight.
There's a bar in the Monte Carlo that's a great bar.
Oh, yeah.
But it closes so early.
But
it drives me crazy.
What's funny is we go there so much that the bartender
knows us.
He knows us. We walk in, and he's already starting to talk about all the great stuff that he's got in the back.
Yeah.
And it's a terrific beer bar. And
but they close way too early.
Yeah.
I mean, in Vegas, you want these bars to stay up until 2 or 3. That's not the case. They're closing at like midnight.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, especially like that because we'd sit there and drink beer all night.
Exactly.
Instead, we have to go do other stuff. But, I'm a little surprised because the tournament schedule at Excalibur is not what it used to be. A lot of these casinos are going to fewer tournaments. That's not a good thing.
No.
I like tournaments. But, there's a midnight tournament at the Flamingo. I think that's where – I don't know where the Flamingo is, but I know I've seen it.
Okay. Did you see I'm trying to pull up the story, but, of course, the Wi-Fi is terrible now. Miguel Cotto got stripped of his belt, before the fight this weekend. I'm trying to pull up why exactly, but it's interesting timing for sure.
Yeah. Well, obviously we'll find out what the story is when we get out there.
It's going to be a good fight, though. Cotto Canelo is going to be a really fun
fight.
It is.
That's two guys who like to mix it up. And, apparently, according to ESPN, he refused to pay the $300,000 sanctioning fee.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Yeah. Those sanctioning fees are silly.
Yeah.
All right, we got an interview coming up next.
Yeah, Carlos Condit, who's speaking of fighting for a championship that he doesn't have to pay any money for, he will fight at he'll fight in on January 2nd, UFC 195. He's taking on Robbie Lawler in the main event out there in Vegas. We had a chance to talk to him earlier today. We'll have him coming up next.
All right. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Pub Fiction in Midtown, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is a former interim UFC welterweight champion, the former WEC welterweight champion, one of the best 170s in the world, the natural-born killer, Carlos Condit, on the program. How are you doing today, Carlos?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well myself. I'll start with this. It was a really good weekend for sports in Albuquerque. I know you're an Albuquerque guy, born and raised, and for Holly Holm to win the UFC championship, and then the New Mexico Lobos to beat Boise, who was like a 31.5-point favorite. I bet the vibes are good right now out there in Albuquerque.
They are. They are, and we're really proud of our athletes.
Now, does the pressure now fall onto you to keep that going, to keep that Albuquerque momentum rolling?
Donald Cerrone's up first.
Oh, that's true.
He got his title fight. And then I'm after that. I mean, you know, there's always pressure. I love representing my city. But it's nothing different than every other time that I step out in the octagon and do my thing.
You know, maybe it's speaking of the pressure, maybe a little bit less in this fight than the last one. But going into your last fight, you lost 3 out of 4. And if you lose 4 out of 5, even if they're all to really good fighters, it's really hard to keep a job in the UFC these days. Do you feel like if you somehow end up losing 4 out of 6 that, you know, you're maybe still kind of fighting for your job here? Or do you feel like you're pretty comfortably on that roster right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just focusing on this one, and that really hasn't crossed my mind. You know, I have I'm stepping in the octagon with the most dangerous guy that I've ever fought, and you know, I'm more worried about, you know, my health and my well-being, you know, with regards to, you know, making it out of this fight in one piece than whether I have a job with the UFC afterwards. I mean, of course, that's something to think about, but. You know, first things first, I gotta train, I gotta prepare, and I can't really, you know, pay too much attention to the ramifications afterwards.
You know, Robbie Lawler, like you mentioned, a very, very dangerous guy. You guys were, in fact, supposed to fight on Saturday night. He had a thumb injury that pushed it back. But when you see Robbie Lawler, and obviously experience plays a lot and the power plays a lot, but what are the things that you see in him that maybe you can get the better of him at?
He's got a lot of experience. He's a very talented, skilled guy. I don't know. We have a lot of different things we're working on. You know, we're to go out there, we'll see what's working. If something doesn't work, we're gonna have, you know, plan B, plan C. You know, kind of a flow chart. You know, hey, if this is working for us, go this way. If this is working for us, go that way. And of course, I'm being kind of vague because I don't want to give anything
right
up. But I know that I could beat Robbie Lawler. It's just a matter of going out there and executing. I know he could beat me. It's just, you know, is he going to be able to capitalize? You know, and that's the great thing about MMA is anybody can win on any given night if they have the skills. And both of us have the skills to end the other's night.
You know, you've been involved in a lot of great fights. You know, you and Rory McDonald had a great fight. You and Martin Kampman had a great fight. GSP, you had a great fight. When you look at that, Robbie's last fight with Rory McDonald, I mean, are those the kind of fights that, like, you want to be a part of, or is that something that you hope you're never involved in a fight like that, where probably you're both going to the hospital at the end of it?
both. You know, it is, you know, fights like that are, you know, they're character defining, and you know, those are those moments in your life where you're really seeing what you're made of, and that's a big part of why I do this. You know, that's why I, you know, why I train and why I step into the octagon with other trained fighters who are trying to kill me, basically, is, you know, to push my boundary, really step to the edge and go beyond. But no, I don't want to take damage like that. I'd rather, you know, get in there, damage my opponent, and get out. But you know, it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes you gotta push it, and you gotta get gritty, and you gotta get grimy.
You said that this is going to be your most dangerous opponent to date. Who would you say has been your most dangerous opponent so far?
I don't know.
Like, stylistically, what worries you? Is it a guy with just superhuman knockout power, or is it a guy who can take you down? What makes you the most nervous?
Probably a guy with the knockout power, the one punch knockout guys, the really dangerous strikers. Thiago Alves was, you know, he was up there. You know, he was just my last fight, but he was definitely up there as far as dangerous strikers go. I would say probably Alves.
You know, something happened to you that it actually, I've fought a little bit, and in my last fight, I tore my ACL in the cage, and it's a really scary moment. That happened to you a couple fights back against Tyron Woodley, and it's really hard to describe the feeling when that happens, but how was the road back, and how long did it take you to really gain full confidence in your body again?
I had a great surgeon. My surgery was successful. I immediately got into physical therapy, which was key. I found a great physical therapist that really pushed me. You know, those were some of the hardest workouts that I've ever done. I think that the challenging part was not going too fast too soon. The challenging part was, you know, having to chill. Hey, you know, I like to move. I like to play. I'm just a rambunctious person. So just trying to chill out, for that long was tough, but I was challenged through my physical therapy. I started feeling better maybe, you know, eight months. Yeah, 7-8 months. I started moving around in the gym a little bit more.
What's the vibe like out at Jackson's right now? I mean, there was a time, you know, maybe a few years ago, where it was pretty widely regarded as the best MMA gym and the best MMA camp, like the best group of fighters in the world. And then it sort of took a little bit of a backseat for a little while. And now with Holly winning, Donald fighting for a title, John Jones on the way back. Do you feel like Jackson's is back on top of the MMA world?
I don't ever think that we weren't. There's ebbs and flows with regards to every, you know, in anything, any industry or team or sport or business. You know, we've always just continued to do the same thing. We have a great formula. It's even better now. We just opened a new facility. We have a lot of new people. We got a really cool thing going on right now, with all this talent that's coming in and the coaching. Things are going well, as they have been for a long time.
What were your thoughts? Obviously, you're a teammate of hers. What were your thoughts on the Holly Holm fight? Did you expect it to go the way that it did? Did you think that maybe Ronda would have a better game plan? What were your expectations, and what was your reaction when the fight happened the way it did?
Holly went out there and she fought flawlessly. You know, she fought Ronda the way that that she needed to fight Ronda, and you know, got it taken care of, you know, in spectacular fashion. So I knew that she had the tools and the ability to beat Ronda, but like I said earlier, it depends on, you know, who can execute that night, and she did. you know. And I said she has the talent. She has the ability to beat Ronda Rousey, and you know it was phenomenal. I'm so proud.
I'd be disappointed in myself if I didn't ask you, what do you think of Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor, the title fights coming up at UFC 194, Aldo McGregor and Weidman Rockhold? What are your predictions in those?
Aldo McGregor, I think that's a tough one. I think on paper, Aldo beats him. McGregor is a phenomenal fighter. I'm really impressed by his abilities. I think that he doesn't have the ground, and I think his ground game is suspect, and that's where, you know, that could make the difference in that fight. That being said, I know that he's probably in Aldo's head, and that may be a factor. Rockhold and Weidman, Rockhold's kicking abilities, I think, are going to make the difference in the fight. He's got great wrestling. He's got great jiu-jitsu, but you know his kicks are gnarly. I wouldn't count Weidman out. He's gritty. He's an incredible wrestler, but. Rockhold's been very, very impressive lately.
That is Carlos Condit. You can see him January 2nd, the first card of next year at UFC 195, Lawler versus Condit. Miocic and Arlovski is the co-main event. Dustin Poirier and Joseph Duffy, another really cool fight on that card. It's going to be a stacked card, of course. They always do it big, the first card of the year. Looking forward to you and Robbie going at it, Carlos. I'm always excited to see you fight, and this one is no different. This is going to be a really fun show. Best of luck to you on winning this title, and looking forward to it, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me.
All right, that's Carlos Condit.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pub Fiction in Midtown. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Really good interview, A.J.
Thank you, Fred.
713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. We are out here.
What was your favorite part?
At the end. third floor, which is right above Pub Fiction. And a really nice beer selection out here. We were here for the Lombardi Award finalist announcement, which we've discussed. But
I'm going to be voting next year on that.
There you go. See? Good for you.
That's right.
All right. I got a couple giveaways. And how about this? Rockets versus Portland Trail Blazers. We probably should just give this to Blazers fans so they can.
No.
How about this? You can win two tickets to see Clutch City take on Rip City. The Rockets take on the Portland Trail Blazers this Wednesday. With a 7 p.m. tip-off in Toyota Center. If you don't win them, buy them. Tickets are still available. Log on to HoustonRockets.com and get yours now. Callers 10 and 15, you're getting two tickets to see the Rockets. And I have one more very good giveaway. And
what is it, Fred? Is it a secret?
It's
making it sound like a surprise.
A little bit of a secret. We'll do it a little bit later this segment once our winner's clear for this.
I just read you. It's going to be. I read it on Twitter what it's going to be.
Who tweeted it?
You did.
What did I tweet?
You told a guy in this segment.
Oh, yeah. Into the segment. Well, we will give away four passes for Houston Whatever Fest, which if you guys have, well, there's only been one, but this is one of the coolest events going on right now, and a couple good friends of mine are in charge of it. We're going to be there Sunday all day. They have comedians. They have bands. I mean, it's just a great, great thing. It takes up all that Edo area. And over by the soccer stadium, Warehouse Live, all those places. And it is just one of the coolest things that goes on in this city. So I can't wait to be there Sunday. But it's also Saturday. There's some great acts then, too. But we will be giving away tickets.
All right.
And we will be doing it shortly. All right, Mr. Hoffman. I guess we don't have – I'm a little disappointed we don't have our rankings to discuss. College basketball, is that important that it – bumps our rankings?
Well, listen, Fred, Kentucky Duke, that's where it's going to bump it. We had our rankings. That's all that matters.
Yeah, probably.
Who cares
so.
What these guys say?
You're probably
we
right.
We know what's going on.
Well, I mean,
I think it, what it boils down to right now is who's going to be ahead this week, Oklahoma State or Notre Dame.
Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, and they're going to give Iowa love, too, because they did last week. So I think those are the three teams that you're looking at in that 4-5-6 range. Who's ahead of, between Florida and Oklahoma I think will be interesting. But otherwise, it really...
As it stands now, though, it feels safe to say it's all going to work itself out. You know what I mean? I'm sure there will be a little bit of controversy at the end, but for the most part, it seems like when you look at the schedule ahead, we're going to figure out who's real and who's not.
The beauty of it is this year they all play each other for the most part, so it will sort itself out. And most years the BCS sorted itself out. There were always a few times where you'd have some controversy, and I think last year there was a little controversy over 4-5-6, but they got the right school because that team won the national championship. But I do think we're going to have a year where over the last couple weeks, all hell breaks loose and a whole bunch of teams lose. And suddenly it's like, who the hell do you put in there? And they said last year it played out pretty well. But if you remember, you know, the year that A&M beat Kansas State, I mean, that's going back a little bit. But that year, everybody who was up there lost. UCLA, a whole bunch of teams lost. The year LSU got in with two losses. I mean, everything fell apart. I think we're going to have one of those years.
I think,
and then it's going to be a harder conversation because it's not going to be just 1-2. It's like, okay, 1 we got, 2 maybe we have, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, what if we have everybody's got two losses?
This is just my feeling, and this is what, I mean, listen, who knows what's going to happen. I have a feeling that Clemson is going to be in.
I believe you.
I think Alabama's going to be in. I think the Ohio State University is going to be in, and I think that there's going to be a decision at some point between Notre Dame and Oklahoma. And I think it's a very tough decision to make, and I think Oklahoma's last several games are going to be – it's going to be difficult to say. And this is where we're going to find out what's more important to the committee, who have you beat – or who did you lose to?
And
Oklahoma is going to have better wins than what Notre Dame will have. And Notre Dame will have a more embarrassed, or Oklahoma will have a more embarrassing loss than Notre Dame.
I don't know that Oklahoma's wins are necessarily going to be better than Notre Dame's.
And you know what? Notre Dame, they thought
because
they had,
all the questions we had about TCU and Baylor aren't if you beat TCU and Baylor and they both, well, obviously they go on the road and beat Baylor by 10.
Right.
They do the same thing to TCU. Doesn't that kind of confirm what we thought, that, okay, those schools aren't any better than...
It does, but you remember a week ago we thought Notre Dame's win over Temple was pretty solid?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened to Temple in that game. I still think that's a good football team that was playing much better at the time. But that win over, you know, went over Navy solid. I mean, they've got pretty good wins.
At the end of the day, though, their best wins are going to be Navy, USC,
Stanford. That's
Oklahoma State will have. They will have it. And this is assuming they beat Oklahoma State,
right?
And Oklahoma State, if they win out, obviously they should be in.
Yeah,
in my
I
opinion.
Don't think there's any doubt.
But if Oklahoma beats TCU, Baylor, and Oklahoma State 3 weeks in a row, I mean, are any of those teams?
Who would you take right now?
Has Notre Dame beat anybody better than Oklahoma State, Baylor, or TCU?
Who would you take if right now you lined up USC against TCU?
TCU.
Really?
I think so.
That's surprising to me that you would say that.
I mean, I've just seen USC be so up and down.
But at their best.
The TCU. What I will say for TCU is they don't have a healthy quarterback right now.
Well, but I mean, if they did.
If they did have Trayvon Boykin,
yeah,
I'll take TCU and not even question it.
What about Stanford and TCU?
That's a different story. And that's the thing for Notre Dame right now. Both these teams, really, their best possible win is the last game of the season.
Right.
But as it stands now, Oklahoma just got a win over an undefeated Baylor, and that's better than anything that Notre Dame can claim right now.
Probably. The thing is, though, the depth of their wins are pretty good. I mean, they don't have a lot of – Iowa State, Kansas is on their schedule.
I agree with that.
And I think that's, you know, and yeah, Texas has turned out not to be very good, but that was a good game for them to play. They go into and beat Virginia, which is disappointing, but that's not a
I think what really hurts Notre Dame is there's some of the teams that they expected to be better ended up, like Texas ended up being way worse than anticipated.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech ended up being way worse than anticipated.
Virginia was supposed to be better than that this
USC
year.
USC was considered a title contender at the beginning of the year, and they ended up being a disappointment.
But see,
And even now, Stanford, now they've lost two games.
Yeah.
You know, even that win isn't going to be as...
Not as sexy as...
It's not as big. So it's going to boil down to, in my opinion, what's more impressive, who have you beat or who did you lose to? And Notre Dame has the best loss of anybody. They lost to the best team by 2 points.
That's the difference. If it comes down to that, if Clemson's number one, Notre Dame deserves to get in there because they had a 2-point loss. Again, they should have won, frankly. And they beat the crap out of Texas, and OU didn't.
And if OU doesn't get in over Notre Dame, they'll sit around wishing that they played a conference championship game.
Yep.
Because that would have probably been enough to put them in over the top. And again, I'm not trying to crap on Oklahoma State. Maybe they went out, and if they went out, if they're
undefeated. I don't think there's a conversation if they went out.
If they're undefeated, they should be in over Notre Dame, without question. But I do think Oklahoma's going to beat Oklahoma State, and if that happens, then that's the one discussion I really see going down at the end of this college football season, Oklahoma versus Notre Dame.
But you know what? I still believe that one or two of these teams will take themselves out of it.
And you
won't have to have that conversation. And whether it's Notre Dame losing to Stanford or OU loses to one of these teams.
The one other thing that interests me is if somehow there's a two-loss SEC team, where will they sit? I think this year they're going to be out. And it's something that I wouldn't have said in past years. But I don't think the SEC is as strong as it has been. And if you lose two games in the SEC, I don't know if you deserve to be there.
I'm going to call it now. I still think there's some chaos to come, my friend.
All right.
And some team we're not talking about at all could sneak in and get that fourth spot. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Glenn Davis is going to join us. Talk a little soccer. Since he's back in studio. Why are you waving at me, Aaron? Did I screw something up here? Yeah, you're talking to me with my headphones on, so I can't hear you.
So we had a live read here, but
it said 6:46. I thought it was coming back.
Okay, we could do that too.
Yeah, that's
Okay, I don't know how to read times.
I'm just saying.
I never learned how to read a clock.
You know, that's not my first rodeo here, pal. All right, quick break. It's a blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pub Fiction in Midtown. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Tune in at 7 o'clock tonight for Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. We will talk to Glenn in just a second, who is in studio and warming up and ready to go. But first, as promised, I'm going to give away some Whateverfest tickets.
Boom.
A four-pack of two-day passes to Houston Whateverfest as it returns to the city on November 21st and 22nd, featuring 2 days of music, comedy, and art with over 90 acts performing on 5 stages. Also features the largest TV screen in America, showing your favorite sporting events, a 65-foot Ferris wheel, and more. Catch performances from Metric, Ghostland Observatory, plus comedy from Doug Benson, TJ Miller, and more. Tickets start at $35 per day or get a weekend pass for just $55, and there are VIP options available. Log on to HoustonWhateverFest.com and pick yours up now. Caller number 20, you are going to Whateverfest, and hopefully I will see you out there on Sunday. All right, let's go to our man who Derek Jeter...
Barry Laminack will also be there, by the way.
Barry's performing?
Yeah, Barry's performing.
Is he Saturday or Sunday?
I have no idea.
Okay, well,
I'll be in Las Vegas. I have no idea.
Well, I'm going to be back, and I'm going Sunday. I specifically came back to go to Whatever Fest and also to go over to Delta for the jackpot on Saturday. But
If Sunday, Barry's performing.
Okay, then I will be at Barry's show Sunday then.
All right.
So
don't go watching something else. Watch a band while Barry performs.
No, I'll go see Barry. Barry's our guy.
I won't be there, but I still love Barry, but you know, I won't be there.
Well, you'll still be hungover. All right, let's go to the guy that Derek Jeter affectionately refers to as Uncle Glenn.
Uncle Glenny.
What's up, Mr. Davis?
Yeah, I was wondering what was the over-under on the Derek Jeter mention. It came pretty quick.
And it came from Fred. Who would have thought?
It did. Not you.
Usually he sucks you in, and then I spring it on you.
You see what we...
It's legendary what you guys do. You soften up.
You
with
see what
the
we did to
question.
You though. We mixed it up on you this time. See, I came with the Jeter reference, and then AJ was going to ask a soccer question. We're just trying to confuse you, my friend.
I know,
but I don't have any soccer questions.
I was very confused. I just want, for the record, people to understand. I'm her uncle. I'm not her father. Okay, so just
that's right.
Get that straight out there.
Hey, Glenn, what do you got going on the show tonight, my man?
Got a good show. We got a lot of stuff going on worldwide in soccer. World Cup qualifying. Right now I'm watching the United States, Trinidad and Tobago. Eddie Robinson, who's my Root Sports TV partner, is going to come in studio here tonight. We're going to go to Hanover, Germany. Germany-Netherlands was canceled today, so we're going to go over to Hanover, Germany. A friend of mine over there who's a play-by-play guy in the German Bundesliga is going to give us kind of an update on just the feeling around sport right now and everything that's going on in Europe with Paris and everything. So, it's kind of the dark side of a global game right now.
Yeah, it's one of those things we don't talk about, but how scary was it that someone tried to get into that soccer match with an explosive device, and how awful would that have been? I mean, the person was just trying to create a stampede.
Yeah, it's you know, I don't want to get political here because I don't think people care about my political thoughts, but... I'm just, you know, I'm angered by this type of stuff. I'm tired of it. You know, the German national team in France stayed in the stadium and slept in the stadium and left the next morning. They also had a bomb threat at their hotel in France. So the world's a wacky place.
Glenn Davis, our guest, he'll be doing Soccer Matters here tonight at 7. So this time of year, I guess the show moves around a lot, right? It's different nights?
No, it's pretty much Tuesday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. We get a lot of traffic on the podcast at podcastarena.com, also on iTunes. No, it's been great. I mean, ESPN's been tremendous in supporting the show, and we'll continue to bring you great guests and provide an outlet for those who love the game of soccer here in combination with all the other great programming like the Blitz.
So we're other great programming? Is that what it is?
I think so. I think you are.
Actually, Glenn does a great job, and we have a lot of listeners of our show that listen to Soccer Matters. And I really do appreciate that you get on there. And you know, we have an international city, and we have a lot of people from all over the place. And I know that there's a lot of soccer fans from a lot of teams, and you do a great job of hitting on all of it. So really appreciate you, brother, and thanks for coming on with us. Looking forward to hearing the show.
Fred, AJ, as always, thank you very much for a little bit of the plug here before we go on the air. And you guys keep up the great work, as always.
Thank you, sir. All right, that's Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters. You know what? We work at a place that really has some just really good human beings.
Yeah.
Glenn Davis is one
Glenn's
of them.
A good dude,
we give him a lot of grief, and he takes it well. But he truly is just a terrific person, very passionate about soccer, and just loves the game and loves to talk about it. All right, I'm hearing music, so I think that means we need to wrap it up. All right, so I'm going to thank Tyler for doing a pretty good job. Started off fast and then kind of had some issues, but I'm going to give him a solid C+.
Could be worse.
Yeah, I mean, for last-minute fill-in, C+ for Tyler. Aaron always gets an A. AJ always gets an A. I think the question now is, just like we're talking about the rankings, was I better than Tyler today?
Yeah, slightly.
Okay, then I'll give myself a B-.
Because you did some Gym of the Day singing.
I did, so B- for me. And I talked about my own impending death. All right, I want to thank everybody. Great job, guys. Appreciate all the Blitzers who came out here tonight. Man, great meeting all you guys. I'm Fred Fowler. Stay sportsy, bitches.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.